One of our missionaries sent this update from a Ukrainian believer who's experiencing the difficulties of war with Russia. He writes, "We are not safe. No one we love is safe. There are still people back home. We are not detached from what is happening. Right now, we are mentally struggling to reconcile all of the things we're feeling and thinking. Our desire for safety, the lack of control, our desire to trust God, our desire to serve others, our desire for it all to end." We've been pointing out through our study in the book of Philippians that Philippians is a book of rejoicing, regardless of the circumstances of life. Really? I mean, can we really expect that someone who is experiencing the ravages of war to rejoice? Is that realistic? You and I here today, we're not experiencing at this moment the difficulties associated with the military conflict, right? I mean, our heart goes out to those who are, but we're not dealing with those kinds of things. However, we may be experiencing the difficulties of a war with a classmate, right? Or a coworker, or an unreasonable boss. We might be having that kind of a conflict, right? It may be a conflict with a loved one, a spouse, or an ex, or a child, or even a parent, right? You might be struggling with the war with a parent going on. It might be a struggle with your health or even mental health, emotions. It may be a war within. You know, you just struggle with your thoughts, and it's just the struggles with everything that's going on within your heart. So we do have those struggles. And yet you have pastor get up there and say, "We're going to go through a book of Philippians that's on rejoicing regardless to your circumstances." That's what we're studying. That's what we're talking about. We continue in chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at we're reminded of the circumstances in which Paul found himself while writing a book on joy. And we're looking at verses 12 through 26, and we come to verse 13, and we find Paul facing a difficulty that would cause most of us to just go, "Oh no, you've got to be kidding." Look at verse 13. It says, "It has become known," Paul is writing, "throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." Paul was in prison. And he would be tempted, like, I don't know if you would be, but I would be, you know, like, "You have got to be kidding. Really? I mean, I'm in prison. After all I have done for you, God, this is the thanks I get," right? So how can you deal with the difficulties of life with joy and rejoicing? Now, we need to understand that joy and rejoicing is different than giddiness and happiness, right? We're talking about a settled understanding of joy in our hearts because of God. And that's our foundation. We looked at that just a couple weeks ago. But we're also learning that difficulties are almost an everyday occurrence. We all have difficulties of all kinds. Most recently in our lives, Teresa and I and my parents are dealing with my parents' health, my dad's health, and many of you have been praying for my dad, and I appreciate that. And he is making progress. It's been slow and steady progress. And there are many of you who have helped out. We need someone with them 24/7. And I'm just so thankful, and I sincerely mean that from the bottom of my heart, that there's many who have helped us out to be willing to stay with dad. Someone's even staying with mom and dad right now so that we can be freed up to be here. Thank you. But you know, as I was sharing this with our life group, our life group is working through this and praying with us on this, as are many of you. One evening, as we were talking about this, I looked around the room as I was sharing this about my dad and what I was going through, and Teresa and I were going through, and my parents are going through, and I realized every couple or individual in our life group was going through much the same thing. And, you know, you just realize that we all have difficulties, right? We all have struggles, everything from a hangnail to a Holocaust, right? You know, we all have those things that come up in our lives. It's just continual. And we might say, well, how or why does this happen? Well, it's because we live in a fallen world, right? It goes back to Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. Romans 5:8 says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And we live in this fallen world. And it's not just because of our own sin, but there's sin around us, right? And because of that, we deal with the difficulties of living in a fallen world. But, you know, salvation makes a difference in how you deal with the difficulties around you. And that's part of the hope of this passage and this study, is that because of who you are in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new has come, right? And we rejoice in that. If there's nothing else to rejoice in, it's who we are in Christ. It goes back to the first study, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. You're a saint. You know, grasp, get a hold of that and rejoice in that. That in itself should cause us to rejoice. If you don't know the Lord, you can't rejoice like those who do know the Lord. And our encouragement to you is to surrender to Jesus today and know of the rejoicing that you can experience because of that hope that you have in Christ. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but we want you to have that hope if you don't know the Lord. And we want to help you to come to know the Lord. That's why he died and was buried and he rose again. That if you would believe that he did that for you, you will be saved. But as a believer, you can come. You know the joy and can know the joy of your great salvation. You have the resources to help you with the difficulties of life. You know, you think about our Ukrainian brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we have the concerns here of the matters of our ministry and dealing with the ministry and the comforts that we so appreciate. And yet we think of our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who some of them have lost everything and even faced the possibility of losing their very lives. And yet they rejoice. You know, it just really kind of puts things into perspective for us, doesn't it? It ought to. They still love Jesus. You know, everything is stripped away, but they still love Jesus, and they rejoice. Because of Jesus, you're able to deal with life and its difficulties and its challenges, its trials differently. Because Christ is in you. That's God in you. The power of the Holy Spirit in you to enable you, to strengthen you, because you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength, right? As a Christian, you have the resources to face the difficulties. As we said, you have God's Word. God's Word, God through His Word gives you everything you need for life and godliness. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to enable you to do what He asks of you to do. You have prayer. 2 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. And then the blessing and resource of one another, right? I tell you, what a blessing it is to be in fellowship with one another. you know, to come. We had the Bible studies earlier, and in between Bible study and the worship service, you had the fellowship, and we all loved those Danishes. Thank you, Amy and team. You know, it's like, yeah, all right, you know, and the coffee and just the fellowship. And hey, it's one thing to catch up on the ball games, right? I mean, we're right in the middle of the tournaments, and it's exciting, and you catch up on those things. But I had more than one person say, hey, how you doing? How's your dad? We're praying for you. And what a blessing to come alongside one another and say, hey, let's just pray right now. And that's just the one anothering that goes on here is so important. And if you're watching online, we hope and look forward to that day when you're able to attend with us so that we can one another with you, right? Amen? And that, what an awesome time that is to fellowship together. That's a resource that we have to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need that, right? And with God's word being sufficient and these resources that we have, you can handle life differently. You can be encouraged and have joy in the middle of your difficulties. A couple of weeks ago, we learned out of this passage that understanding difficulties from God's perspective provides a foundation for rejoicing. We discussed that. Now, this morning, I want to focus on verse 13. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. It has become known throughout the Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. The word for there means because. Paul was in jail because of Jesus. It was because of his testimony for Jesus. He had been so outspoken in his relationship with God and wanted other people to know about that salvation that he was put in jail. But he was also put in prison because that's where God wanted him at that time. Take home thought this morning, if you have your notes there. Is believing your difficulty is part of God's plan for you frees you to rejoice. To believe that your difficulty is part of God's plan can help you rejoice in an unhindered way. In other words, your focus is not on the difficulty and the struggle in which you find yourself. It is on God and who he is. And that's what we're going to talk about today and what he is accomplishing in you. At first blush, that statement might be a bit startling. You mean God allowed this? I don't like this. Whatever your this is, right? But what we're learning here is you are in the middle of your this because that's where God wants you right now. That may be difficult, but that's what we're talking about here today. That's what Paul was. That's what Paul was saying here. He was in prison because of Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that he initiates the evil that may have precipitated your difficulty. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, nor does he tempt anyone. Okay? God does not tempt you with sin. And he doesn't cause sin. But on the other hand, in Proverbs 16 verse 4, it says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. He doesn't create sin. He doesn't initiate sin, but he has allowed it for his good purpose. And he's at work in and through it in your life. That's where Romans 8, 28 and 29 come in, right? And we hope that all things work together for good. Is that what it says? And we hope that all things work together for good? No. And we know all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you love God? If you love God, you're a child of God, you surrender to him in salvation, you have the confidence that everything in your life, good or bad, that's what all means. Someone says all means all, and that's all means. The good and the bad and the ugly. God is working that for his good purpose, for your good and his glory. Verse 29, those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He wants to make him more like Jesus through it. He has purpose for whatever it is that you're facing. So we want to look this morning at some questions and some conclusions on this. These are questions to ask when experiencing difficulties. And the first one is, what can you learn about God? What might your difficulty teach you about God? Well, we can learn from Paul. He says there in verse 20, Philippians 1, verse 20, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, few of us would choose difficulty in our lives, right? You know, how many of you have ever been in a car accident? All right? Good number of you. How many of you have been sick? All right? We've all been sick. How many of you have been injured? How many have had broken bones? Yeah. See, you know, but did you say, okay, I'm going to go out and break my arm today? You know? You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to crash my car into another car today. You know? No, we don't choose those things. But based on what we're learning here today, we need to realize, you know, God allows those things for his good purpose. Paul says that he made it his eager expectation and hope that he would not be ashamed. In prison, would you think that whatever it is your situation is, it would make your eager expectation, your intense anticipation and hope that you would not be ashamed or disgraced, but that Christ would be honored. In whatever your difficulty might be, that Christ would be honored in that. You may not know what it is yet, but that you determine in your heart that whatever difficulty you might face, that Christ would be honored. You can do that if you are in a difficulty right now. You can say, you know what? I am going through what I am going through right now in order to bring glory to God. That's what I want to do in this. And if that's could be the way you think, then you can rejoice in that. And the interesting thing is that Christ would be honored in, he says, in my body. In other words, he was doing that while he was living, right? When we die, it'll be easy to bring glory to God, right? But to live in your body, to live your life right now, in a way that's going to bring honor and glory to God in your right now, in whatever the difficulty it is. Even if it would cost you your life. Now, there's many things that we can learn about God through difficulty, but one conclusion you can draw is his plan and purpose supersedes yours. His plan and purpose supersedes yours. Why? Because he's God and you are not. I think of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Right? That's God. And his plan supersedes yours. And he desires to accomplish his good work in you. He wants to conform you, to make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. Man, what better understanding could you have about your difficulties? You know what? God has me in this for his good purpose to bring glory to his name and to make me more like his son. I can't see it now. I don't understand it. It hurts. It's hard. It's difficult. But he wants to make me more like Jesus. Wow. You know, he sees all. He sees the end from the beginning. And he sees everything in between. And we see in a mirror dimly, right? You know, we kind of have our head down and we're going through our lives right this. God sees it all. And the more you try to understand, as we, going back to our message a couple weeks ago, understand your difficulty from God's perspective gives hope, and in that hope you can rejoice. Whatever your this is, whatever war may be raging in your life around you, you can rejoice. And you can say, for to me to live, just like Paul says, is Christ. And to die is gain. Here's another question. Question to ask when you experience difficulties. What is revealed about the character of God? What is revealed about the character of God? What about God's character does this difficulty reveal or teach? He says again in verse 18, yes, and I will rejoice because I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. He's talking about not ultimate salvation, but a salvation that, like being saved in and through the trouble, the difficulty he was going through. Convinced of this, verse 25, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. It's all because of him. And to help you in this, as you understand the character of God, you realize, yes, God is just. He's a just God. He must judge sin. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. But he's also loving. And he's caring. He's kind. And he's faithful. He's true. And as you look at your difficulty, that you understand that he's loving, caring, faithful, kind. In all of your circumstances, all of his dealings with you. And Paul, verse 18 there, chose to rejoice because he was convinced that the character of God was such that his this would turn out for his deliverance. God was at work, and he was just convinced that God was at work and that it would turn out for his deliverance, his salvation. And the character of God is reflected in it, must be understood when you face difficulties. If you don't believe that and understand that, it could lead to anger and bitterness at God. You know, you find yourself in your war or your imprisonment, whatever that may be, and it's like, God, why? Here I am again. This always happens to me, right? And you can become bitter at God. So understanding, no, God is, yes, God is just, but he's faithful, he's kind, he's pure. So the conclusion to draw from this, I think, at least one of the conclusions, is that God is involved in your life, right? God is not aloof. There is a thinking that God, yes, God created and he just got things started and it just kind of stands there and just watches it unfold. Like, he's not involved. No, Be convinced that God is involved in your life, not just in what's happening around the world and in history and in the future, but no, God is involved in your life, whatever your situation is. Man, that ought to just bolster your faith right there, right? You know, give you confidence that, you know, God is involved in this. As difficult as this is, God is involved in this. Be assured of that. Believe that. Now, he's involved enough to discipline you if that's necessary. I think of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. It says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure." The NIV says, "Endure hardship as discipline." God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which we have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. God disciplines you because he loves you. Just like a parent. If a parent sees a child running for the edge of the Grand Canyon, what parent wouldn't say, "Stop!" and run and, if need be, tackle that child, right? Because the parent loves the child, and the child might get tackled and get a skinned knee or a bumped head, but would have been best for that child, right? That's what God does. He disciplines us in order to care for us. He may be involved so as to refine you, to strengthen you. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But the point here is that God cares and is allowing difficulties in your life as a measure of that care. He loves you. He's watching out for you. He's strengthening you. He's involved in whatever it is you're going through. And if God wasn't involved in your life would be worse. At least the ultimate end would be worse. Another question. What might God be doing in you? So, you know, yeah, God is involved now, but what is he doing? What might God be doing in your life through your difficulty? Again, verse 18, at the end of the verse there, yes, I will rejoice. That's a choice. I will rejoice. Because I know, verse 19, because I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. What might God be doing? Well, my friend, if you, I call it the unsaved side of the cross. If you don't know Jesus, you're not certain of salvation, not certain of eternity, spending eternity with God, I can have confidence that whatever difficulty it is that you're going through, God wants to use that to draw you to the cross. He wants, through your difficulty, to open your eyes to the fact that he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again to deliver you from sin, death, judgment, right? And if you're here today or you're watching today and you realize, you know, whatever difficulty you're going through, and if you've never surrendered to Jesus in salvation, he wants you to say, "Oh God, help me. Save my soul." All right? Now, for the believer, the individual that is on the saved side of the cross, you've trusted Christ as Savior, why are you going through what it is you're going through, whatever your difficulty may be? Well, it may be several things. What might God be doing? He may be teaching you. There may be an element of character quality that he wants you to learn through it. He may be disciplining you, as we talked about a few moments ago. He wants to help you. He may be helping you grow and learn and change. He may be leading you to repentance, to help you to be a witness for him. We've talked about that in weeks past. You know, God may be using that difficulty in your life that as others see your joy and your choice to rejoice, that it's like, wow, how are you doing this? How are you getting through this? And you have an opportunity to witness your faith. It may just simply be, as John chapter 9, this may be to bring glory to God. This happened in order to bring glory to God. There are any one of a number of things God may be doing. But the bottom line is, the conclusion of this point that I want to make is that God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow through it. Whatever your war or battle or conflict or difficulty may be. He wants you to be different than you were before. And just like my dad going through therapy, right? I mean, through all of this illness and starting to recover, it's dad, gotta get up and start walking, you know, and man, that he first was on his feet, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, he's got, you know, whoa, here we go, you know, and he lands in the wheelchair, whoo, whoo, you know, well, you know, now he's like, yeah, he gets up, and, you know, yeah, he's still kind of walking like this, you know, but you know what, he's taking steps, he's getting stronger, and that's what God does through, you know, it's much easier. We think it's much easier to just lay around, right? And he's got to get up and moving. And that's what God wants for us, spiritually speaking. God wants you to grow through whatever it is that you're facing. Another question, how should you respond? Well, you know where I'm heading with this. But how should you respond? How does God want you to respond to your difficulty? Let's learn from Paul. Look at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole world, throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Right? How should you respond? Well, the conclusion here is that God desires you to rejoice in the difficulties. That's what we're pointing to. We're looking at this. That's what we're studying here. In what might you rejoice? You know, how can you do this? Well, you rejoice, first of all, because of what God is doing. Excuse me. Because of what God is doing, what he's doing in you, through you, around you, and maybe in the lives of others, or even in the surrounding circumstances, but because of how he is working through it in ways that you may not even know or recognize, or may never know how God is working in that, but being convinced God is at work. And when you believe that your difficulty is a part of God's plan for you and that God's working through it, God desires for you to rejoice. How should you respond? He wants you to rejoice. Now, the next question is, how are you able to do that? How are you able to rejoice in your difficulty? Verse 20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I have several funeral messages that that I try to work through, and one of them is focused on this verse right here. I have not preached it very often. But boy, I tell you, what a blessing when I'm able to preach it, because I know that that individual that whose funeral I have, that their desire was to live for Christ. And to die was gain. And you think about this when it comes to your difficulties. How are you able to rejoice if you have this attitude to live as Christ, even in the middle of your difficulty, to realize, I am in this because of God. This is exactly where God wants me at this time. And I'm going to choose to rejoice because of how God's working. So the conclusion to draw when you face the difficulties is life in the here and now must be seen through the lens of eternity. Life in your here and now must be seen through the lens of eternity. Someone put it this way: we need to be better, bigger picture people. You need to stand back away from your difficulty and just, God, what are you doing? I may not know what it is, but God, you are at work in this situation. And God has a bigger plan. Now, that's a faith statement. I would like for you to look in Hebrews chapter 11, all right? If you keep your finger here if you'd like. But Hebrews chapter 11, you know what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Excuse me. By faith, people who had gone before, the writer of Hebrews, were commended. Look at verse 36. I'm going to look at verses 36 through 40. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In other words, in the here and now, they were put to death. They struggled in this life and ultimately put to death. They didn't see what they had hoped for take place even in the here and now, but they had a bigger picture and they looked to eternity. You remember the Ukrainian believer that I mentioned and quoted at the beginning of my message, experiencing the ravages, the difficulties of war with Russia. Well, he goes on to say, and I read this part, he said, right now we are mentally struggling to reconcile all of the things we are feeling and thinking, our desire for safety, the lack of control, our desire to trust God, our desire to serve others, our desire for it all to end. He goes on to say, but we almost can't help but think about eternity when we start to fear. We are in a position where we truly feel that the only answer is Christ. That he is the only one that we can run to. And it sounds like a cliche, but we feel it more deeply than we ever have. Put life into perspective, didn't he? Just saying, you know what? It's not about what's going on here. It's about eternity. And when all is stripped away, it just forces us to say, oh, God, I need you. There's nothing else. And so I'm gonna choose to rejoice in you, because to rejoice in others and rejoice in my circumstances, it's shallow. I rejoice in you with an eye on eternity to the glory of God. Let's ask God's help. Heavenly Father, help us to take the long view. Help us to realize that we need to view whatever difficulty we face, whatever war rages in our hearts and lives, that you want us there for your good purposes, to conform us to the likeness of your Son. You love us. So help us, Father, to realize that you are involved in our lives. You're not aloof. You care, and you desire for us to even, as the bottom line here is to rejoice because of who you are and your greatness. Open our eyes to these truths. Help us with these matters, and then through them to bring glory to your name. As we continue in prayer, heads bowed and eyes closed, just thinking about how God may be speaking to your heart through his word here, and the Holy Spirit opening these truths to your heart. How might God want you to change? How has he spoken to your heart? How does he want to help you through these truths here today? We encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do so through the physical card out by an offering receptacle, or you can do it online through YouVersion, our website, digital bulletin. I'd just like to know how God has spoken to you, or how he's strengthened you, encouraged you, helped you through this time together. Just jot down. It may be a prayer request. Pray for me. I want to grow, but I'm struggling. And let's pray for one another. Help me to be a testimony. Just jot that down, and we'll be praying for one another. If I can be of help to you after the service, I'll be down here for a few minutes, but after the service, I'll be in the back here. And I'd love to pray with you, or have someone pray with you. Let's be all about one anothering at a time like when we need it, right? Help us, Lord, I pray, in all of these things to bring glory to you, that